This is our second podcast. Today I'm sitting with a gentleman somewhere in his 30s that is also a accomplished Broadway actor. But I'm going to ask him right now to kind of start and give us a general vague introduction of who he is so that we can get an understanding and a visual in our minds of who this gentleman might be.
Well, first of all, thank you for all of this, and thank you for calling me an accomplished Broadway actor. But the fact of being a professional actor for 10 years, being on Broadway, was a huge accomplishment for me, and learned a ton, and it was an amazing experience. But yes, I'm a 30-something actor for about 10-plus years professionally. I have been in New York for maybe 20 years. I had other jobs and still have many other jobs besides that to fill time, supplement income. One of those, as we were speaking before, was a fishmonger, a purveyor of high-quality fresh fish from South Jersey to the door of the customer. Basically taking care of the quality assurance, quality control from the fish coming from the fishermen, and boat to table, taking it right to the customers.
Cool. That's cool.
Amazing stuff. Like sushi grade tunas, sushi grade scallops.
Were they independent fishermen or were they like corporate fishermen?
Both. There's, you know, some of the guys from, I think, what's that show?
Fresh Catch.
Yeah, something catch.
Dangerous Catch.
Yes, yeah, Deadliest Catch.
Deadliest Catch,
yeah. Some of those guys were some of the fishermen. And yeah.
So how did your wife feel about you going in and out of careers, you know, fishmongering, acting, whatever other jobs you had? How did that affect the relationship?
Well, as long as I had a job. Okay. That was important. You know, that's a very important thing in a relationship, you know.
How difficult have relationships been for you?
It depends on the type of relationship, I guess, and the type of person that, you know, the chemistry,
right,
the communication, you know, where you're coming from, how you can relate, you know.
I hate to bring this up, but doesn't the daughter always marry the father? I mean, isn't she seeking the same thing?
Yeah, maybe. I mean, I am crazy in my own ways, but I didn't have the infidelity.
You're
streak.
A loyal guy. You're very loyal.
Extremely, yeah.
So for people out there that are going to enter in a relationship, do you think it's good for them to kind of look at their family life and what they had in their family life and say, do I like this and do I want to change it before I start this relationship?
I think the awareness and the mindfulness is extremely important. With this, the whole Me Too movements, or, you know, with the Black Lives Matter movements, like all of this awareness that's going on right now with our social behaviors and how we think. And it's really getting us to reflect on our own thoughts and behaviors and maybe where it comes from if we choose to do that.
Right.
And doing that will help us change as a society and as a family, as in a relationship.
Right.
The awareness.
The difference between being a weak man and being a strong man, or I can't figure the whole thing out personally.
I think it's just a relationship dynamic.
Right.
I don't think it has to do anything with being a strong man or even being a man at all.
What were you like in your relationships?
I was very kind. I was sweet. You know, I'm a lover archetype as well as a rebel archetype and kind of a prince archetype. But even though I made tons of mistakes and I was a kid and I still am. Yeah, I just tried to be a good person. That's kind of how my father raised me, to respect people like we were talking about.
Right.
Ethics, analytics, logic, and just being a good man.
Right. The last time we talked, I asked you, what's the perfect day with your perfect mate? I'm curious, you know, start to finish, what is it? How does she act? How do you act? What happens?
Wow, it's been so long since I've had like a mate at all. I've been kind of doing my own thing. Just thinking about that kind of gets me misty, you know? The perfect, just exploring each other and learning from each other. Hopefully we both have the day off, or if not, we're doing something together and constantly challenging each other positively and pushing each other to grow and learn and listen to each other and see where each other comes from, where they're thinking, what they're feeling, the mystery of of the relationship in life in general.
Right. So you're very loyal. Do you require that of someone else?
I do. Yeah.
Have you ever had someone not be loyal to you?
I've had, girlfriends in the past. Like when I was younger, one of my first girlfriends cheated. But, it was like we were like 17 or something like that. Or I think that was the only person who ever cheated on me. But then, and my ex-wife, she was extremely loyal. And I think that's why one of the many reasons why we decided to get married so young. But my partner after that, the Australian one, that was a big thing with us, the loyalty issue.
Right.
There was...
She wasn't loyal or you weren't loyal or...
Well, one, she had a big problem with the friendship, deep friendship that I still had with my ex. And two, she also had a flirtatious side to her, not a physical disloyalty, but it's...
What is that? How do you explain it? You know, you're there with your wife or your girlfriend, and she's flirting. Is it called intentional creating my boyfriend or husband to be insane?
Flirtation is extremely healthy in relationships. It makes you, have self-confidence with other, have other people look at you as well as, makes your partner want to up their game a little bit. But this really was at a different level. It wasn't like that. It was, for me, the way I saw it, it was a much more unhealthy flirtation.
Right. Disrespectful or?
Very disrespectful.
Okay.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
My ex-wife, she also flirted with people, and people flirted with her in front of me, and I saw, but she had, a much better sense of self, and I don't know.
I have to bring up the perfect woman that I saw once. I have a friend named Rich, and we had a house down the shore, and he had a girlfriend who was an executive, and the house was full of guys, 11 guys. And I tell you right now, I watched her behavior, and she was the perfect woman. She just, she kept guys like, there was a wall right there. She's like, she was very friendly to all of us, but she kind of was controlling of, the distance that, in terms of, flirting and so forth. She'd be very nice, very kind to everyone, but she managed it. And I think for my friend, it was a very important part of why they stayed together and are still together. And I always tell him, I say, Rich, you've got the perfect woman. hopefully they're happy. But, getting back to the flirting part, it would drive me nuts. And I would have to say that it has in the past driven me nuts. I guess I'm just a weak man, but I can't take it.
No, no, not at all. I mean, I don't agree. I don't think you're weak at all. It drove me nuts. I'd never experienced it until I was in my 30s with that person, with that partner.
Right.
And I still love her dearly as a human being and as a friend. And it drove me crazy. And I talked about it and tried to be calm about it and get her aware of it. But it's almost like she didn't know it was happening or didn't want to know that it was happening or want to know that I saw and I know exactly what's happening. It's about being honest with yourself. But again, maybe call me ageist. She was 11 years my junior, and she still had a lot of things to learn as well.
Right, right. And it's almost like you should be ready for a relationship or just don't be one in one at all. There's too much pain out there and so forth. Okay, so thanks again for your time. So I'm going to ask you some harder questions. In a relationship, I guess there's her or him. Part we're going to talk about now is sex. And then there's the time you spend together, time shared, habits, family, finance, and a whole bunch of other things. But when it comes to the most important part of relationship, what do you think it is? I mean, anything you want to talk about. What's the most important part of a relationship?
Communication.
Right. Communication.
Yeah. Whether it's sexual communication, verbal communication, nonverbal communication, really listening to one another.
Yeah, I mean, it's been so long for me. I don't even know if I feel like I would probably tap someone on the shoulder and say, hey, you want to have fun? I forget how it's done. But how was that part of your life with your wife and then with your ex-lover, the Australian girl?
The sex?
Yeah.
Great.
Great communication. You just kind of knew when and...
Yeah, no, healthy sex life with both of them. Mm-hmm. Definitely. I think we talked about earlier, too, you know, the give and the take.
Right.
You know, at one point, my Australian partner was more interested in pleasing me.
Right.
And, I mean, what guy wouldn't live for that? But at some point, you know, it's a conversation, and I'm having a conversation with somebody, and if they're not necessarily listening to me, I'm going to lose interest, and it's not stimulating for me.
Did you ever get to question, what do you like?
Absolutely. Absolutely. You have to talk about these things. It, you know, it's like riding the subway. If you see something, say something.
Okay. All right. That's a good, that's fantastic. So you're in bed, see something, say something.
Absolutely.
That's probably where the saying came from.
Well, you know, it is a train running through a tube tunnel.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's a visual.
This is obviously two guys on a podcast.
Two guys,
right?
Yeah. Two guys on a podcast. Absolutely. No, just one thing on their mind right now. Yeah, train running through a tunnel. Yes. So, in terms of that, are you a pleaser, or you like being with people that please?
It's both. For me, it has to be both. It goes. There's a balance that's necessary, I think. You know, and for me personally, like the couple you were talking about earlier, that was the guy slapping the woman's ass and she liking it. Some people are different ways, and it's about the chemistry, I think, that the two individual people create. And that's their contract, that's their thing, and nobody can tell them how to live their life and how to be in a relationship. It's what works for them. And if one day they want to change and grow with that, maybe they have the conversation with each other about it, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. So you make love. Any special places you prefer? Rooftops? Car hoods.
where you're talking about getting really intimate, so the first thing that I thought about special places was not location, where we're doing it, but how we're doing it. But no, keeping it interesting, I think, is important. Exploration is...
Whose job there. Is that, male or female, to keep it interesting?
Both. Yeah. I mean, you know, generationally speaking, you know, people from different generations, they have a different mindset about these things. I think the younger generations may be a little bit, you know, it's just different.
Yeah.
I think for me, it's both our jobs.
Right.
Because, you know, when one's down, the other one's up, it's, you know, bringing each other back or,
yeah.
It takes two.
I hear the word boundaries a lot today from your generation. You got to set boundaries and stuff, so on. I mean, obviously not in bed, but... I'm not understanding how that word has come into a lifestyle my kids are, you know, in their 30s, and I always hear the word, you know, or the generation talking about setting boundaries. I hope that's certainly not what's happening in their relationships, you know, because it's like the freedom, the craziness, you know, is probably what's best, right?
I agree. That's exactly the word. Freedom is exactly the word that came to mind. I'd like to know what these people were talking about setting boundaries, because that brought to mind maybe them being hurt in certain ways.
Right.
They don't want to be hurt by that. You got to act a certain way. I think it's mostly about trust.
Right.
And freedom.
Right. And satisfaction. I mean, it's certainly important to satisfy the other person. You don't want them to be frustrated. You want to take care of them, and you just want to make them happy, right? I mean, I don't know. I mean, how do you? I mean, I've talked to other guys, and you know, I don't get as open a conversation. But how do you feel about like, is it a responsibility, or you're just out there to enjoy yourself? What is it to you? I'm curious. Now, I'm learning from you right now. I'm just trying to figure this out.
I'm just talking. Who knows? But what do you mean?
Is it your responsibility to make things perfect for her, or her responsibility to make things perfect for you? Or are you more both on your own, in your opinion, to just, you know, please each other or please yourself?
I think there's a... a section, I think, in The Prophet by Khalil Gibran that talks about a relationship. And it's about two independent trees growing next to each other. They've got their own roots and their own branches. And I'm bastardizing that. You know, it's been a long time, but I think it's read a lot at weddings or something like that. But you both got to please each other. For me, my relationship that I would wish to have with my partner is to please each other, and it's a balance back and forth,
right,
both of us, and it's a responsibility. It, you know, it's hard work sometimes, and sometimes it's easier.
Right. I think that, you know, any good relationship that I've been in starts off in a very lustful way.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, lust, when things, I mean, I can't imagine, I guess I haven't been in relationships for that long that I ever see that change. Is, you know, it's just crazy, mad, emotional, good times, you know, meeting someone. But, I mean, yeah, I guess I'm thinking, like, you know, maybe relationships don't last that long because you don't communicate. You know, you're with someone, you're having this amazing time, and then, you know, do you talk afterwards, or do you not talk, or, you know, leave at 3:30 in the morning so you can be in your own bed when you actually wake up and go to work at 5:30? You know, now that you're dating and you're not married, not in a relationship, not living with someone, how are you going to handle that?
Oh, well, I definitely, if, you know, I've been through periods of, I don't want to make it sound like I'm like this chivalrous, you know, guy and everything. I've had these one night stands. I've had, you know, I've had sex and left, you know, I've been an asshole, you know, in certain ways.
What ways? I think people would like to know you, how you've been an asshole.
I mean, I've always tried to be honest. You know, after I broke up with my marriage, I was seeing three girls at the same time.
I made sure. The triple play.
Yes. Yeah. Not at the same.
No.
But like, you know, individually. And I made sure they all knew about it. I made sure we talked about it. And
so you were.
I introduced two of them. One of them was not so comfortable with it than the other one.
You weren't looking to have a threesome, or a foursome, rather.
Who knows? You know, okay. I'm just letting it play out.
Right. Did you ever have sex with all three of them on the same day?
No.
No. All right, you're not Superman. All right, I'm sorry. I didn't, my mind wandered. I apologize.
That's
for that.
Right. I've gone multiple times with a partner, though, for sure. Like four times within a couple hours.
Could you
hours.
Beat your chest when you do that, when you say that? Just, you know, pound your chest when you say you've gone multiple times. There you go. That's much better. Yeah, so, all right, so, you're making love to a woman, and you kind of know where I'm heading. It was fantastic. You're laying there, you're all sweaty, and then what happens? You're going to start chatting with her, or?
Well, in my past, I'm kind of neurotic, and I've found this out about myself with those relationships. Oh, to answer just one last thing that you were saying earlier, despite all my, you know, whatever one-night standish, if you want to call them, or things that I know aren't going to last and they don't have a future. I'm just in it to have fun and to share an experience with somebody for whatever that experience is. At the end of the day, I want somebody truly who I want to see and I want to stay there with.
Right.
I don't want to go home. I want to be around that person more.
Right, right. That's cool.
But yes, what you're saying. So yeah, after sex, I'm kind of neurotic. I tend to want to clean up a little bit, clean up my mess, or, you know, or arrange something for some god awful reason.
So you just had sex.
I know.
She's satisfied. You're satisfied, and you want to clean up.
It's stupid, but yeah, I need to learn to relax more. I guess I'm all pent up, and I've got all this furor or something. I just want to furor?
Is yeah, that? Sure.
Yeah. I want to set this notion of the furor. Anyway. So I just got to chill out. I got to relax and be in the moment with
Could
them.
Could you do it? Could you do it? Could you lay there in the sweat, in the everything else? Or would it be like forcing yourself to like lay there, and it's just a habit of you cleaning up right away? Anyway, could you do it? Could you force yourself, or would it make you feel uncomfortable?
No, I should force, not force myself, but maybe understand where it's coming from. And while you were just talking, I think it comes from maybe a lack of wanting to go to that intimate place, because that's a really big part of the connection after sex, I think, is to, you know, the stereotype is maybe the females want to cuddle and the guys, you know, they're up and whatever. I don't know. That's the stereotype, but yeah, maybe it's that's an intimate part that releasing myself into that is not a natural thing or hadn't been a natural thing. And I think it's important to maybe understand why, or at least giving it a shot.
You know, it's a moment that's not talked about enough. You know, you want to bring this woman to ecstasy. You're there, you know, you're managing yourself. You're trying to bring yourself to ecstasy as well. And then you have this climax. And I don't think there's enough discussion about, like, you know, what's the proper behavior afterwards and how long should that last? And you know, is it, 25 minutes, deep conversation, coffee, bagel, you know, possibly, you know, borrowing a robe, you know, what? I mean, what is it? I think that we ought to, you know, figure that all out. But I mean, it's certainly, with all the women I've been with, different every time. And, you know, it ranges for me from, you know, let's talk, to hearing someone say, don't tell anyone. So
actually, I mean, I think I've heard that one too.
Get out of here. Tell me you've heard that. Have you heard?
Don't tell anyone.
Like you're like, she's one of a group of friends and everything.
It's gotta be a secret from like the rest,
like,
of yeah.
It's like, wow, you really make me feel special. In the meanwhile, in the back of my head, I'm like, who the hell am I going to tell? Why would I?
Yeah.
But that's...
Yeah, same. Like, yeah. I don't share that stuff except on a podcast.
You know? Yeah. But we're not mentioning any names. But it's interesting, yeah. You know. Wow, I can't believe you've had the same experience. I thought that it was I thought it was just a cruel notion that all these girls, they must know each other and say, well, let's go sleep with Mark and, you know, we'll just tell him, don't tell anyone. I thought it was, but it's happened to you too. That's good.
Yeah, in a certain way, I think, yeah.
Cool. So, moving on. So, I mean, but let me ask you more things. I mean, the reason I'm doing these podcasts is because I'm trying to, you know, launch an app called Love Appy, and we ask a lot of questions in the profile, different types of questions. We ask, you know, what breast size do you like? What butt size do you like? You know, what height are you interested in? You know, if you're 5'11", do you want someone shorter, someone taller? I'll ask you these questions straight out. What butt size do you like?
But asking those questions, doesn't that, you know, box you into something, just like your mother-in-law?
I think,
one of your love of your life is out there with a smaller breast size or a bigger breast size.
I think you're right. I like variety myself. But I think there's got to be like a starting point. And I think that too often people do have strong preferences. One of the answers we have in the profile is doesn't matter, right? So we have small, medium, large, doesn't matter. Small, medium, large butts, doesn't matter.
Fair enough.
You know, so, you know, you can opt out of those things. Now, the preferences aren't so that we can give you a list of people that fit that. It just is so that people that come to look at your profile have an idea of what you're thinking.
Fair enough. Then if that's the case, I can't deal with someone without a butt. Flat butts, I can't, you know.
Flat butts out. Okay, see? That's what I'm saying. I mean, if that's a really important thing for you.
It's not a deal breaker, but, you know, it's more of what's going on underneath the hood that matters for me.
I want to just thank you so much for spending some time with me. I think you're a pretty cool guy, and I hope you find love. I hope you'll join Love Appy. And I hope Love Appy is a success so that more people can find love. So thank you.
Thank you.